I'd like you to begin by describing the problems these pilots experienced when flying this plane.
Yeah, one of the greatest dangers when you fly airplanes is the threat of hypoxia. Hypoxia is basically when you have a lack of oxygen in your blood and your ability to think things through in your decision-making process basically goes away as the first steps to, you know, eventually dying. You know, lack of oxygen will lead to death. In fact, it's so serious that as Air Force pilots, of which I am one, we train every 3 or 4 years in a chamber that allows us to experience hypoxia so we know what it's like. So these pilots are experiencing these hypoxia symptoms. The F-22 was grounded as they figured out the problem. They didn't figure out the problem, but they thought they had mitigating measures. Turns out that the mitigating measures were only making the problem worse. These pilots have made the decision that, you know, as a pilot should, if there's a safety, if they're passing a certain level of safety that they don't feel comfortable in, they shouldn't fly. And that's what these pilots have done, and they've come forward to talk about this problem.
Oh, why did these pilots, Major Gordon and Captain Wilson, choose you to protect them?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, I knew Captain Wilson from a previous life as a pilot myself. Also, I am the only serving Air National Guard pilot in Congress. And, you know, from that perspective, I think they understood that there are probably some terms, as they explained it to me, and some understanding that I would have that maybe your average congressman without a military background probably would not have. So they came to me and explained some of these problems and these incidents, and it was something I took an interest in and was happy to help them.
As a member of Congress, what protection can you provide to members of the military who blow the whistle on their superiors?
Well, there's a Military Whistleblower Protection Act that Congress put into place a number of years ago, and that says that if you speak to a member of Congress, the communication is protected. So in being present with them as they were doing the 60 Minutes interview, we have prevented, by law, any reprisal based on them going to 60 Minutes and doing the interview. Where I take an additional concern is that at least one of these pilots, Captain Wilson, is under threat of losing his wings and of disciplinary action for refusing to fly. I believe, again, as pilots, we have the right to refuse to fly if something passes our comfort zone. In fact, you want pilots understanding that they have that right. Otherwise, they push to limits beyond what they're supposed to do or what's safe. And so I'm going to continue to take an interest to ensure that these pilots are not pulled out of flight duty, that they're allowed to continue in the military.
What exactly can you do to prevent the military from grounding these pilots or pulling their wings?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is public pressure. Having hearings, bringing the public has obviously become very aware of what's going on. The Air Force will have some questions to answer if disciplinary action is brought forward. And you know, as congressmen, we have oversight into the military, and so that's a very important role that we take. I also want to be very clear. I don't think there's a grand conspiracy going on here by the Air Force, but I think it's important that the Air Force understand that if this is outside of somebody's comfort zone, they need to respect that, put them on ground duty for the time being, and not threaten to take their wings away.
Some parts of the F-22 are made by Hamilton Sunstrand of Rockford. These include the electrical system, some engine components, plus flight control and other equipment. Are any Hamilton Sunstrand parts or components under suspicion at this time?
No, not that I'm aware of. You know, look, there's a problem suspected with the oxygen system, although there really is no understanding of what's causing this problem, or else I think it would have been rectified a few years ago. They're diligently trying to find this answer, but I would think that any company involved in making of an aircraft would want that aircraft to be absolutely as safe as possible. And in fact, those that make the F-22 have really come to the table and very aggressively said, well, let's find the problem to this. Because look, this is an important aircraft in our arsenal. It's very important that we maintain this, and we want to have a plane that's safe that can actually be used if the unfortunate day comes where it would need to be.
So you sound like you support more F-22 Raptors for the Air Force?
Well, you know, at this point, I support the current fleet of F-22 Raptors. I would support keeping the plans on the books in case we do need to spin up. But an F-22 with 183 of these things in existence, an F-22 has the ability to take down an entire squadron. One has the ability to take down an entire squadron of the enemy. So we have a very effective, fleet of F-22s, and it's important to keep them in action, but let's make them safe so that we can use them if we need to.
Of course, you know the Obama administration said it wants to stop building the F-22, canceled funding for the program. How could this latest news affect efforts to keep the Raptor program alive?
Well, of course, it wouldn't be good news for that effort, but I think it's, again, motivation to the companies involved in making the F-22, to the Air Force, and to those of us that have oversight into this program to ensure that the aircraft is safe, so that if we get to a point where we do want more or need more F-22s, that we can, you know, have everything fixed up, and so it's a viable option for if the unfortunate day would hit when we would need to call on these.
Well, Congressman Kinzinger, while I have you on the line, I wondered if you'd comment on Congress's role when it comes to counterterrorism. I'm speaking only a day after it was revealed that intelligence officials foiled an alleged plot to bomb a U.S.-bound airliner. Now, counterterrorism agencies report directly to the executive branch and give regular briefings to Congress. I was wondering if you were satisfied with the role the legislative branch plays with regard to counterterrorism, and if you would like Congress to have more authority in this area.
Well, look, I think when it comes to national defense, counterterrorism, things like that, the executive branch does have to have more power than the legislative branch does. The reality is you have 435 people, 535 including the Senate, all with varying views on what the role of counterterrorism is. You have to have, when it comes to national defense, the executive branch to be the most powerful in that area. That said, we should have oversight. We do have oversight. The Intel Committee, which is the House Intelligence Committee, I know has a lot of day-to-day knowledge of what's going on overseas, makes a lot of decisions, yay or nay, to allow operations to occur. So I'm fairly confident with the level of knowledge that we have. Now, you know, it's important to understand that Congress does play a very strong role in funding and in determining what the scope and breadth of authority that these agencies do have. But any idea that Congress should be an equal branch with the executive branch in national defense, I think would be wrongfully founded, because I think the executive branch really does need to have power that Congress doesn't.
How satisfied are you with the executive branch, and I guess I mean President Obama and the agencies under his control, how satisfied are you with the way they are protecting America against terrorism?
You know, I have some fundamental disagreements with the executive branch on how we're going about Afghanistan, the fact that we've given a timetable for withdrawal, the fact that we left Iraq with no residual forces. I have some differences in how they've dealt with Israel and Iran. But that said, I think that the administration has been aggressive in counterterrorism. We've been able to do drone strikes in areas where, you know, like Yemen and across the border in Pakistan, where we know terrorists exist. I do think the administration has been fairly aggressive when it comes to counterterrorism. I worry about, you know, with the grander scope, a withdrawal from Afghanistan, what that would actually do to our overall strategy against terror. But that said, in some of these areas, I believe they've been aggressive, and I, you know, will commend the administration when they deserve it, and I think it's an area they deserve.
If I may impose on you a little more, I have a question about the city of Rockford and some voters' concerns that next year the city will no longer have a, quote-unquote, hometown representative in Congress. Is there anything you'd like to say to address Rockford residents' concerns about your commitment to the city and its people?
Well, I think, look, I just got won my primary a month and a half ago, and I've already been in Rockford a number of times, more than many congressmen even come home to their district. I've been in Rockford. And, you know, look, I wasn't elected to be the congressman of Rockford or to be the congressman of Southern Illinois or Central Illinois. I was elected to be the congressman for the 16th district. Rockford plays a very important role in that district. It's a huge part of the district, and I will represent it aggressively. That said, you are now going to have potentially two congressmen representing Rockford, which is actually, you know, while I understand the concern and I will work to alleviate that, could actually be a benefit, because now you have two people very aggressively representing an area that, frankly, has been economically depressed and needs a lot of help to help it, you know, really re-spark the private sector and get people back to work.
So it sounds like you're saying the city now has more clout in Congress than it did before.
Yeah, that's how I see it. I mean, when you have two people that have an interest in your city versus just one person, now you have two people in Congress fighting for those interests. And, you know, I understand it's going to take a while to earn people's support and belief and trust that I'm going to be around a lot, but you'll see over the next few months, even before I take office in the new 16th, that's my commitment, and I'll live it firsthand.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger, thank you very much.
You bet. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye.